sports site in the world.
That's right, America. You're connected with Yahoo Sports Radio. And remember, you belong with us right here, the home of real sports fans.
Listen anytime at yahoosportsradio.com.
Or with the new Yahoo Sports Radio mobile app from Quicken Loans.
Just search Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store.
Now from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze.
Here he is, Ken Weinman.
So far, we had Anthony Davis of the New Orleans Pelicans on last hour. Talk some hoops with him, and let's continue talking some hoops. Michael Scotto covers the NBA for Sheridan Hoops, and he joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Insurance guest line. Michael, how are you this afternoon?
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Good, man. Let's start with Anthony Davis and that game he had yesterday, 59-20. I read something, Shaq and Chamberlain. Those are the two guys that have put up stat lines like that.
Yeah, you know, this kid could be all right one day, you know. Anthony Davis is certainly one of the top young players in the league. And, you know, I think this year the only problem in New Orleans is they've had to deal with a ton of injuries, you know, both to the front court and with some of the swing men, including Quincy Pondexter. So I think that's kind of halted that franchise a little bit this year. But there's no question Anthony Davis is continuing to play at an all-star level, despite the lack of support around him at this time. And, you know, last year this was a guy who was considered a top five player. So certainly when you see a stat line like that, you know, what would be out of the ordinary for most wouldn't necessarily be for AD.
I look at the Eastern Conference, Michael, and I go, there's not a team in the East that can take 4-7 from the Cleveland Cavaliers. So please tell me I'm wrong.
No, I don't think you are. You know, I think Cleveland, you know, with the victory, they are the preeminent favorite in the East. And, you know, we'll certainly go from there. But when you look at that team, just top to bottom, the talent that they have, it's pretty clear that they're the favorites in the East. I mean, some thought that maybe the Toronto Raptors could give them a run. But I don't know if Toronto is at that point yet. I think maybe if they would have made a move at the deadline to get a power forward, then maybe you could have put them in the conversation. But right now, I think it's the Cavaliers. And then if you look at the rest of the East from about the 3 spot all the way down to 8 or so, you know, it's separated by about 3 games, maybe a little bit more than that. So it just shows how much parity there is in the conference. And the major thing, though, is that they're all way behind Cleveland, and that's telling as it is.
I look at a team like Chicago, who every year we expect them to compete in the Eastern Conference, and every year we're expecting Derrick Rose to become Derrick Rose again, which I think that ship has sailed. And I just wonder, are they going the opposite direction? I was surprised they didn't trade Gasol at the deadline.
I think with Gasol, well, here's the thing. What are you going to get back for Gasol if you do move him? I don't know if necessarily trading Powell is the right thing. I still think he has another year or two left at close to an all-star level, if not an all-star level. So with that in mind, I don't mind them keeping him if they really think that they can re-sign him looking forward. But, you know, with Derrick Rose playing at close to an MVP level, look, at least looking at his numbers comparatively since the start of the second half, you know, after the all-star break, yeah, that's a great thing. But when you don't have Jimmy Butler, I think that's a major part of the equation.
Sure.
And they sorely miss him.
I alluded to, and we're talking to Michael Scotto, covers the NBA for SheridanHoops.com, the no Gasol trade. Were you surprised there weren't any major trades? I guess Markieff Morris might have been the biggest name moved. And is this because I think teams are looking at that money they're going to have on the cap next year, and why trade an asset where you can just spend in the offseason? Or because everybody just thinks Golden State's going to win this, so why put in the work, or a combination of both?
For starters, I would say actually, in my opinion, I thought Tobias Harris getting moved was the biggest acquisition, because this guy's 23 and he's locked in for another 3 years at a pretty fair contract, which actually goes down in the last 2 years of his deal when the cap rises. So I think
fair point.
Him was a really good move. And, you know, the one guy I was surprised that did not get moved, in my opinion, was Ryan Anderson. I know that you know, the Pelicans have some concerns about keeping him long-term, depending on what his price range is. And his price range is anywhere from the $15 to $20 million range annually per season. I think that might be a little too steep. So with that in mind, I felt it was a little surprising at this time, but I would not rule out a sign-in trade with him come the summertime.
But you had these big names like Blake Griffin, Kevin Love. Did you think there was ever any legitimacy to those kind of guys getting moved?
No, I didn't think Blake would get moved now, just because, you know, if you're going to play against, if they're going to play against Golden State in the playoffs at some point, you need Blake in a small ball lineup, and you need all the firepower you can get to even stay remotely close to the Warriors and their offensive firepower. I think the Clippers getting Jeff Green allows them to put him at the four, and possibly Blake at the five in small ball lineups when Golden State puts Draymond Green at the five. We saw that last year where that kind of ultra small ball lineup really gave the Cavaliers some trouble, and at times it's given DeAndre Jordan trouble in their regular season matchup. So I think the addition of Jeff Green could play a role in trimming the gap between the Clippers and the Warriors. But with that said, I don't think that's enough at this point.
From what you're hearing, how frustrated were the Clippers with this whole Blake Griffin situation?
I mean, how could you not be frustrated? You know, this is one of your best players, and it's a terrible situation. I mean, to have a nonsensical fight like that and to miss games because of it, I just think that's just immature behavior. I don't care if it's a friend. I don't care if it's someone you hate. You have to be more disciplined than that when you're on paper a title contender. So I think that bothers them. And, I mean, we've seen some other crazy stuff around the league as well, you know, from, you know, even here in New York with Derek Fisher. And there's never a dull moment sometimes in the NBA.
Yeah, the Knicks, and we're talking to Michael Scotto, covers the NBA for Sheridan, hoops.com, and courtesy of the Progressive Insurance guest line. That situation, and I read a couple articles where, you know, if you're a coach, you can't be dating same guys as the players anymore, but I guess Derek Fisher didn't get that memo.
Well, you know, I don't know. Some of that stuff is more TMZ for me. I'm more of a basketball guy, but it's funny. The whole point is to run the triangle offense on the court, not the left triangle off of it. So I don't know. You know, that stuff off the court, I honestly try to stay away from it as much as I can. But certainly I think there's no denying that that was a distraction. And, you know, but with that said, when they had lost, I believe it was 10 of 11 at the time, you know, that was more the reason for the move as opposed to that. Certainly that did not rub people the right way. But at the same time, more of the product on the court when they were in that that tailspin, which they really haven't seemed to get out of yet to this point, was a major reason for the move.
Michael, last thing for you. The Golden State Warriors, they came out this year like they lost in the finals, not won it. They won the championship last year, and they seem to be the hungriest team coming out. For me, and Steph Curry is the best player on the planet right now, in my opinion, but I think Draymond Green makes them tick, and he's a guy that might be an MVP finalist.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, first of all, certainly I think you can't argue that Steph Curry is the best player in the game right now. And when you look at the Warriors, I think the biggest chip they had on their shoulder was coming off that final. There were some people that were saying, well, if Cleveland had Kyrie Irving for the whole series, then it might have been different. And if they didn't have the injury to Kevin Love, it might have been a different series. And I think that lit a fire under Golden State out west. And, you know, we've seen it at a historical pace that the team is playing on right now. And, when you mentioned Draymond Green, a guy that leads the league in triple doubles and an all-star, this guy has always been a Swiss Army knife because he can do a little bit of everything. And it's his versatility that does make this team go, as you said, both on offense and defense. He can screen, he can pass, he can do it out of the high post, run the offense. And on defense, he's versatile enough to guard even small forwards and power forwards at times. So, and as we saw in the finals, he can even move to center for you know, a short amount of time if needed. And when you have a guy that can do all those things, especially in today's NBA where guys are valued at playing multiple positions, that's a steal. And to have a guy like that do it at an all-star level like Draymond is doing this year, I mean, you can certainly make the case that should the Warriors make the finals as expected, that he would be a prime finals candidate. I mean, we saw what Andre Iguodala did last year when he became the finals MVP. It just takes one great series to get that award and, you know, the right matchup.
Michael Scotto covers the NBA for SheridanHoops.com. Great stuff, man. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it. The Golden State, watching that team play, it's just beautiful basketball. It's absolutely beautiful basketball. And to see, like, when the way they pass the ball, and I never liked the Celtics teams in the 80s. I respected them, but I never liked them. But when they run those fast breaks with McHale and Parrish and Bird and DJ and the ball would never touch the ground, that's sort of what Golden State does. And they're awesome to watch. There's just no doubt about it. And Steph Curry, fifth highest paid player on the team. You're listening to Yahoo Sports Radio.
For loans up to $35,000, go to prosper.com/sportsfan. You can apply without affecting your good credit. Once again,